So as our avid listeners may recall, I have spent the last few months in the northern suburbs of Chicago. And to pass the time in the evenings, I have signed up for technological golf lessons at the local golf tech establishment, where they videotape your swing and show on a digital screen where the ball would go based on its trajectory at impact.
Whoa.
So very, very cool.
That's really high tech.
Yeah,
is that to limit space? I mean, are you actually hitting the – you're not actually hitting anything at this place.
No, you hit the ball into a giant net about 5 feet away. So I have been taking the opportunity from these lessons to go as often as possible to play golf at this event or at this this facility, because you get unlimited, you know, kind of driving range type hits. And then also to generally try to immerse myself in golf culture. So I watched the golf channel on TV a bunch, and I have been reading golf magazines and also talking to people about golf. And I realized, as sort of the sport of business, like the official sport of the corporate world, you can really spend just about the whole day talking about golf in one form or another. You know, you can wake up and you can watch Morning Drive on television, and then you can talk about golf at work, and then you can potentially play golf with your work friends, and then you can eat at the clubhouse, and then you can watch more golf on television. You can read a golf magazine while you're in the bathroom, and then I guess you can go to sleep, which wouldn't have any golf.
You can dream about golf.
You can dream about golf.
You can sleep on a golf ball-shaped pillow. That's true. And I guess I'm thinking, you know, maybe there are some other sports that approach this or other hobbies that you can approach this with. But I don't know if any of them really come close because of the, like, you can play golf as a work activity.
Because, right, it's not a team sport, but you still need other people to go out and do it. Or you have that option.
Or you can go...
It's a bonding experience.
Golf with your clients or whatever, right? That's what you mean as a work activity, right?
Right.
Now, have you actually gone out and played golf now that you've done lessons at, like, a computerized training facility? I'm curious if you've actually gone out and lived golf, or if you're somehow... living golf completely on the sidelines. You're able to immerse yourself in golf culture without actually playing golf at any point.
You are correct. In fact,
which is terrifying.
I may only have improved at robo golf. but I started, you know, in February, and my first time playing actual golf since then will be next weekend.
Oh my gosh! So this is going to be a big. We'll have to come back to you and hear how it went. If your swing lives or is still perfect outside in the real world.
Well, it's very concerning because it's kind of like going to take your driver's test. How you should never tell people in advance. Like, you should never tell people that you are taking lessons. You can only tell them after you're good that you took them. Because then in the middle, it's like, oh, wow, you're taking lessons and that's your swing.
Oh, yeah.
But in some ways, then it sounds like you don't actually want to play golf, that golf is better experienced as – I don't want to call it a poser sport because I don't want to offend you. but it seems like something you'd rather just say that you're a part of the culture rather than actually experience it firsthand. It's less stressful.
I guess I can see the merit in an approach like that. I would like to have, I guess, some level of skill in golf, so that I can play it. And I'm, as I get better at it, or at least kind of learn how to get better at it, as opposed to actually getting better. I have seen some of the, you know, entertainment value it offers, just because it's a good challenge that's very different from what you would see in a normal work environment. It's a lot of just, you know, purely mechanical skill that you're trying over and over again, as opposed to something where you really have to think about it.
then what attracts you to it on a life encompassing level? For you, golf, it sounds like when you're describing it that golf isn't a sport. It's not necessarily a competitive thing, but it's like a Zen mantra for you. You know, golf is meditative. Golf is itching the scratch for maybe its competitive nature, but also just the intensity of what it takes to train for something. Because we've discussed on this podcast before that you're not really a sports guy, if I recall correctly. That's more Rajan's court. Haha, get it?
You're so clever.
Yes. But I'm curious about if golf to you, because when I watch people, it seems like it's kind of their religion. And even when I used to play golf when I was younger, which I try not to admit very often, but I did play a little golf in my time, that people were really dedicated to it. And it was a way of life, not just a sport. And I'm wondering if that's attractive to you.
Well, I think that it is a good way for me to get into that easy conversation with others without having to constantly follow sports. And that the interesting thing I think about golf, as compared to some other sports, is that when golfers are watching golf on TV, they want to be able to do what the guy on TV is doing. You know, I think that when people are watching football, they understand they're not going to be a pro football player.
Right. They're still in the fan seat, and they're watching their – it's like watching theater or something. They want to be entertained by it, whereas the people you're describing watching golf are – they want to emulate that. They want to be that.
So I think there are different ways of watching sport, and I think football is certainly one extreme where a phenomenal percentage of people who watch football have never played football and never will play football. So I love watching football. I've never played football. I've played flag football.
You'd be good at it. Rajan is 800 pounds, so he'd be a great tackler. Is that the name?
Actually, I lost a little bit of weight. I'm down to 770 now.
Oh my god.
Any case, but so I think in football, generally speaking, yeah, it's kind of theater. People don't watch it and expect to be able to do the things that they do there. And I think golf is probably the other extreme, where almost if you watch golf, you pretty much don't watch golf unless you play golf. I think it's an incredibly boring sport to watch if you don't actually do it and have some conception of what.
Ouch.
Of how people are, how hard it is to do what they're doing, and that sort of thing. Another sport that I watch that's like that is cycling. Like, nobody watches cycling if you don't ride, except for me, but I'm weird. So, again, like, you don't watch, those are sports you don't watch unless you do them. And football is a sport that you watch even though you never do it.
That's why it's so interesting to me that people end up getting into golf at all, or like what the entry point ends up being for people, because obviously, I think golf skews a bit older, but we definitely knew people even in high school who were on our high school golf team, which I'm just like, how did you get into this? How did you become part of this sport that, again, like you've both described, it's like you need to be into it already to kind of enjoy it on a viewer level. So like, how is the entry point? What is so engrossing mesmerizing about it? Why would anyone want to jump into it in the first place? I always wonder about that.
Probably.
I mean, I don't feel that I'm mesmerized by the sport. I think that there's enough other people that I know that are doing it, and I would like to join them for the social value.
So no one knows where the origins of someone enjoying golf began, because it's like way back, everyone's just been starting to play golf because their friends are playing golf and they just want to play with their friends. Well, so who's patient zero of the golf epidemic?
I think that's how a lot of sports are, though, and a lot of activities in general, aren't they? Generally speaking, you do things because...
Well, I think a lot of sports are, I want to exert physical energy, or I want to be competitive, where I'm, you know, rubbing shoulders with... an opposition, yeah,
but
in some
way.
But like,
why did you choose basketball instead of soccer, or instead of tennis, or instead of football? Like, it's because those are the people you're playing with, like your friends, or you're playing with people that you know.
Pace is an issue, I think. You know, physicality required for the sport drives people to it. I mean, Ryan, do you feel like you're taking up golf because it's a sport that you are capable of playing, theoretically?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's one of the I think it's the lowest sport that qualifies as a sport that you can get good at.
Ping pong?
Without being super athletic. I don't know. Ping pong, you have to be able to, like, dive around a lot.
That's true.
Same with badminton.
You have to have upper arm strength with golf, I assume.
Precision,
gripping.
Right, but see, that's precision, you know. It's not as much, you know, I mean, you can be, like, half arthritic and still get it done on the golf course.
Then what do you end up talking about with people about golf? You say that the conversation is actually part of the appeal for you, and that it's somehow, you know, it's providing elements off the course that are attractive. But I imagine that golf talk becomes repetitive because, like you're saying, there aren't that many elements to it, and it's kind of a slower sport. For me, that sounds like you'll just end up talking about the same 3 points all the time.
Well, I guess the thing that's appealing for me is I can talk about my struggle to improve in the sport instead of just talking about what the pros are doing, because then I don't have to follow the pros on TV consistently.
Did you watch the Masters?
The Masters is kind of a funny story because my hotel dropped the golf channel on Thursday of the Masters.
Oh,
wait. The Masters isn't on, like, ABC.
Oh, maybe it is on
CBS
Saturday.
Or something.
Yeah, CBS, yeah, on Saturday and Sunday. But I was.
Oh, but not during the
away those days.
No one wants to pay enough attention to the Masters to give it its due on network television.
I was very excited to have a douchey. I wouldn't say shouting match, but. A douchey complaint conversation with the maintenance manager of the hotel.
Wait, about the Masters
about,
or like
about
who's
dropping
doing well?
The golf channel? I said,
"Oh,
excuse me, sir. Did you really just drop the golf channel in the middle of the Masters?"
Oh my gosh! Did you wave your hand around in little circles and furiously sip brandy? I hope you waved the club in his face.
I actually poked him with the butt of it. I mean, but this moment brought to you by golf, you know, what other sports delivers such delightful faux aristocracy?
Well, do you feel like that it's a bad rap for golf that, like, you know, if you believe that it's an all encompassing hobby for all aspects of life, you don't want it to be douchey, but golf has an air of douchiness to it. Or maybe that's the attractive part, that it is upper echelon athleticism, and it makes you feel classier.
It's self-aware elitism about it that I think is entertaining.
But you know, is it really self-aware?
I'm not sure how self-aware it is. I think you happen to be self-aware, so...
I think you're now in the cult of golf making comments like that. You're not... you're watching the golf channel. You're tuning in to the the evangelists who preach to you the word of golf. You're in the cult now.
I guess so. I'm just going to have to come up for air every once in a while to maintain my outside perspective.
You have to play like lacrosse and get the crap beaten out of you.
Yeah, but that's another
golf
elite sport.
That's so true. It's still a bit douchey.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're
can
do.
I play. Soccer.
You're just gonna have to go to the go down to Chicago and or DC and go to the courts and get beaten up by some guys on the basketball court.
You know, you need to play high lie.
What's that?
High lie is the the Latin American sport where it has long curved handle things and you throw a ball around. I think you beat the crap out of each other.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like lacrosse, but a little less douchey because other people play it besides white people. Just white
people. white people.
Stupid white people. Well, Ryan, two final questions for you. One, I think a lot of people tuned into the Masters, or at least they were aware that Adam Scott won the Masters. And it felt pretty false to me that other people would enter into the golf world. And do you think that when the masses start watching golf, that golf loses its luster? Is it like an invasion?
I suppose so. No, I mean, I don't really think so, because I think they all join in the faux aristocracy of it.
But they're not saying anything about golf. I don't think. I don't think most people, when they see a winner, or when we talk about Tiger Woods, it's like, we're not talking about the good part of golf, which I guess is, man, what club do you use to get out of that sand trap on 15?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Happy Gilmore, right? Someone who's good at golf and completely violated the ethos of what golf is supposed to be about. Isn't it?
I guess that was the evolution of golf and people not accepting it. That golf is a Luddite sport in some ways, and that when you try to improve upon it. Although technology, you training at a robo-golf facility seems like a total infringement to the into the clubhouse ways of golf.
Yeah, I feel like if you were to cop to having learned how to play golf in your robo golf land, people would look at you askance.
I think only in the douchiest of the douche circles would they do that.
Wow. There are levels of hell. There are levels of golf hell.
I think that golf has a level of, I think it's elitist just because it's played by old people, and it costs a significant amount of money to go out and play it on the course.
Well, those are, I think, significant reasons for it being elitist. Yeah. You have to have lots of money or you can't play. I mean, you know, it's like skiing or squash, or, you know, like,
I can't accept that. That means it's something. There's something wrong with golf. I want golf to be for the people. Bring golf back to the streets is what I really want.
Well, let me try that another way, though. I think that the people that play golf are, you know, I think by and large they're fairly humble about trying to get better at it. The sport just intrinsically costs a lot of money to play, because you have to maintain this entire golf course and keep the grass perfectly mown and seeded.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll just go to robo golf someday.
So Pfister, are we going to see the day when we have AstroTurf golf courses? Because then it would be cheaper, right?
I would consider playing on an AstroTurf golf course. I think that, yeah, you'd see some people that would say it is not the same.
What's next, clay? Clay golf courses? Ryan, here's my biggest question about golf. Are you getting a new haircut for your first big game?
Well, if you want to talk about haircuts, I did have quite the exciting pre-golf haircut here.
What? Tell me.
I was driving through the...
Driving. Get it?
Uh-huh. This time in a vehicle, next time with a club, through the suburbs of Virginia, Annandale to be precise, and I passed a sign that said $5 haircut. I think $4.95 to be precise.
You're the only person who would ever stop at a sign because it says that, but continue.
So, well, the reason why I told it was the reason why I stopped is that I suspected and was later proved true that it was a haircut training school.
I have done that once. It is usually a good experience, but takes about four times as long to get your hair cut.
Oh, well, see, I had a guy who was technically a graduate, but it was very exciting because you walk in and it was like a Korean, very ethnically Korean school. So they were all there, and they were very excited to have somebody come in and get their hair cut, and they're very pushy to get you to come in. They're come now. And so I go and I sit down, and you know, the one guy is cutting your hair, and then the other lady comes over and gives them some lessons on how he should be cutting it. And I just felt like a very, very valued member. of the hair cutting community there.
And that's what's important. And because you were going to the most elitist sport on the planet, you felt especially good about it.
Yeah, I think I guess I enjoy, you know, irony in all forms. In this case, having a $4.95 haircut and then going to play the most elitist sport appeals to me.
Club of choice?
Definitely the 6-iron, because that's what I've been practicing on for the past couple months.
That's what you're going to use the whole game. Good luck, Ryan.
Thanks, bro.